Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. There's only one passage that's going to be on the screen this morning, and it's this one. And I'm just going to roll and flow after this one. So Luke 19, 28 through 40. Praise God. There is nothing like the presence of God. When he had said this, he, Jesus, went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" There's just something that rings a bell in my spirit when I hear that. Amen. Ha! Wow. Yeah. When you're seeking the Lord for your healing, and the enemy says, "Why are you praying?" You say, "You loose me because the Lord has need of me." When you're seeking the Lord for provision and finances in your life, and the enemy comes along and says, "What are you doing that for?" "Because the Lord has need of it to advance his kingdom." Amen. Because the Lord has need of it. You get that in your spirit. Because the Lord has, he has need of it. You're like, "No, that's us. We have need of it." Well, we are his ambassadors. We're doing his work. So when we're going forward, we're doing it in his name. So you can say, "The Lord has need of me. The Lord has need of it." Amen? Ooh, glory. So those who were sent their way and found it, just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw, their own clothes on the colt. And they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they have seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered and said to them, ooh, get this in your spirit right now. "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem to prepare for his crucifixion on the cross. It's the beginning of what we call Holy Week. Say Holy Week. In this account that I just read, a Pharisee yelled out from the crowd to Jesus, and he rebuked his disciples for praising him. He told Jesus to rebuke his disciples for praising him. And Jesus said something very intriguing, which I want to say one more time. He said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." The title of my message this morning is simply this: praise louder than the stones. Praise louder than the stones. According to Jesus himself, the only way for the stones to stay silent is for you to praise him. I want to talk about some keys about praise in connection to Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, I want you to get this picture in your imagination. I want you to get this picture of the praise, all the people praising Jesus in the crowd that as Jesus was entering Jerusalem. They were praising him as the Messiah, as the chosen one, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yet, listen to this, they truly didn't understand what awaited Jesus in Jerusalem that week. It was setting up for, I like to say it this way, it was setting up for the plot twist of all plot twists. I don't care what movie you've seen in the past that was you thought was an amazing plot twist. This was the plot twist of all plot twists. Amen? Amen. He was the long-awaited Messiah, and he was immediately... The people thought this, so they were praising him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which rightfully so. But here's what they were also thinking. They were thinking that Jesus was ushering in his earthly kingdom right then and there. They were thinking that all the earthly enemies in the natural realm were going to be done away with right then and there. They got it right that he was the Messiah, but they didn't fully understand what Jesus was going to have to endure on the cross, and that Jesus was gaining something more powerful than a worldly victory. It was going to be a spiritual victory that would impact both the spiritual and the natural realms. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. Even Satan and the kingdom of darkness didn't even understand exactly what Jesus was doing. It was the wisdom of God in action. Amen? The word of God comes right out and says that. It says, if the kingdom of darkness would have knew God's plan, you want to know what it says? They would have never crucified the Lord of glory. That's proof they didn't even know the wisdom of God that was taking place. But regardless of what the people were thinking about that week, the people were praising Jesus, and rightfully so. Amen? Jesus deserves every bit of our praise. The air that God put into our lungs should be released verbally back to him in praise. You agree with that? The first thing that I want to point out in this account about praise, are you ready for this? Is that this praise took place outside of the temple. It took place outside of, you could say it this way, of a church setting. It took place out in the secular realm. Back in that time, it was perfectly acceptable to praise God within the temple, or what we would call the church, right? But in a secular setting, in a public setting, it was not a normal thing to do. You got to catch this. I want you to notice that the Pharisee, a religious leader in the church at that time, was telling Jesus, listen to me, to silence his disciples. A religious leader. Did you get that? A religious leader. Not just someone off the street. Come on. Not some atheist. A religious leader. The Pharisee was doing that, number one, because they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. All right? And so they thought, this is blasphemous of what they're doing. They're lifting Jesus up as God. Well, he was God, and he is God. Amen? Amen. But I want to drive this point home to us as Christians on a personal level. We need to praise Jesus, not just in these four walls of church, but also not be ashamed to do it outside of these four walls in a secular setting. Those disciples, those followers of Jesus, they were not ashamed to praise and worship him. Romans 1:16 says this. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." The key point is, I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed this morning? Amen. Come on. If you are not ashamed of Jesus and the gospel message, listen to this. Praise will be given, it will be released, no matter if you're in church or if you're outside of these four walls. Amen. Not just in this church setting. Our very existence on this earth is rooted in the fact that, listen to this, the very existence of why we're here is rooted in this, that God created us to worship him. God created us to praise him and to fellowship with him. And that doesn't mean just in a church setting. It means outside of these four walls as well. So I'll tell you this right now. I will never hold back my praise and allow a stone to praise Jesus in my place. Amen? Here's the deal. Listen to this. We need to take an inventory of our praise to Jesus. How often do you truly acknowledge and verbally praise him outside of these four walls of this church? Let's be honest. If we were all honest, if we were all honest right now, we would discover this. Ready? Not as much as we should. Not as much as we should. We need to just humble ourselves and say, Lord, forgive me. I really haven't praised you like I should outside of a church setting, right? Some don't even praise him in a church setting. Right? All right. Listen to this. If you will begin to verbally praise him outside of these four walls on a consistent basis, you will notice this, that you will have more joy, you will have more peace, your faith will start to skyrocket. All those things will start to manifest strong on the inside of you. How many of you guys want joy and peace? And you want the power of God? You want strong faith? Amen? Well, you need to start praising God on a regular basis. Amen? Amen. Now, I said it before and I'll say it again. The more you praise him, the more you praise him verbally in your life, here's what it's going to do. It's going to accelerate your breakthrough in your life. It's going to accelerate it, all right? So why are you sitting in the mess you are? Well, maybe you're being a little too negative of where you're at in that thing, right? Your focus is on that thing. So what happens is when you start to praise Jesus, guess where your focus starts to shift to? Jesus. Amen. And that's why breakthrough is going to get accelerated more. Your praise to Jesus, oh, come on, listen to this. Your praise, my praise to Jesus should not be conditional. Many times it's conditional, isn't it? It should not be based on the condition of your life. It should not be based on the circumstance that you're going through in the moment. It should be solely based on this. Are you ready? Who he is and what he has done for you. That's what it needs to be based on, pure and simple. Listen to this. Holy Spirit just said this. Jesus does not have to earn your praise. Jesus does not have to earn your praise. He deserves it. Amen. Listen to this. The next point about praise in this account is that the praise was unanimous. Say unanimous. Unanimous praise among to Jesus. Ready? Among his disciples. Say disciples. In verse 37, it said this. It said, then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, underline it, the whole multitude, not the whole multitude, the whole multitude of who? His disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works which they have seen. As I read this, I never thought about this before, but the Holy Spirit, like the word disciples, jumped out at me as I read this. And here's what my point is. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a true learner of Jesus, a committed student of Jesus, a disciplined follower of Jesus. Are you ready for this? We'll praise him. Amen. Always. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is powerful. True commitment to someone or something will always lead to two things, honor and praise. True commitment. I'm not just saying here and there. No, true commitment. Say true commitment. True commitment will always lead to honoring that thing, and because of your honor, you're going to praise that thing. All right? So if you are committed to Jesus and the Word of God, your faith level will be high. And because of that, you're going to start to see the power of God manifest in every area of your life. You will receive wisdom from the Holy Spirit. You'll receive revelation. And so you're going to desire to learn to know more about him. Amen? So a true disciple of Jesus, you can say it this way, will have no problem, say no problem, no problem, verbally praising him anywhere at any time. Because why? Because you're not ashamed of him. Amen. Oh, we're not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So it was unanimous praise from who? His disciples. His disciples, those that make it more than just a religious ritual. It's a heartfelt passion and a love for Jesus that motivates them to praise him. It was the Pharisees that were trying to shut the people down. Jesus, listen to this. Oh, listen to this. Jesus knew there would be no praise from those that are caught up in, here we go, dead religion. He knew there was not going to be any praise from those caught up in dead religion. But he expected it, and he expects it today from his true disciples, from his true followers on this earth. Do I have any true followers of Jesus in the house today? Amen. Praise God. Again, I will never allow a rock to outpraise me as long as I have breath in my lungs on this earth. How about you? Amen. The next point, see, I told you I'm going to be rolling here. The next point is that it was joyful praise. It was, I like to say it this way, it was spur of the moment praise. It was, oh, you can say it this way, impromptu praise. Oh, I love that. It wasn't planned. It was purely from the heart. Oh, I love that. It wasn't ritualistic, religious praise. It was truly from the heart. You know, I'm not talking about singing a song with words on a screen. It was fresh praise. You know, Ephesians talks about singing a new song unto the Lord, about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's not talking about words on a screen. That's talking about that your pure love for Jesus is bubbling all the time, and it bubbles so much that it spills out of your mouth to him in your own words. Anybody ever done that where you're just praising Jesus? It's impromptu. You see, you don't have to. How do I praise Jesus? Okay, glory to you in the highest. No, there's life in it. There's passion in it. We need passion when it comes to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The disciples were putting praise into their own personal words. It wasn't scripted. No one went around and handed out a bulletin. Okay, now Jesus is going to be riding on this colt in about 10 minutes. So here's one for you. Here's one for you. Now when he comes by, okay, I want you to read that off of the paper. Give me that. Are you following me? It was impromptu. Oh, it was heartfelt. Don't you love it when someone just has praise for you, when it's just heartfelt? They're not doing it because they have to. It's because they want to. And they appreciate you. Amen? Jesus is no different. Hallelujah. Y'all doing okay so far this morning? You know, it's pure heartfelt praise when you don't need to read or hear anything to give you ideas what to say. But rather, it's coming from a deep place in your heart, and it's verbally released through your vocal cords. See, that's why the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. You're only speaking what is prominent in your heart. Not here. Down here. Your heart. Your spirit. Amen. Well, you don't know my heart. Yeah, I've been listening to you for about 5 minutes. I kind of know what's in your heart. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So if Jesus is really taking a prominent place in your heart, who are you going to be talking about? Jesus. Hallelujah. So you're making an effort to think about. You're making an effort to meditate on the characteristics of the goodness of God. Amen? How he has carried you through the tough times. How he set your feet back on solid ground when there was none, when you thought it was a hopeless situation. The times that he came through when everything looked hopeless in your life. Do I have anybody testifying today that you've been in that place and God set your feet on solid ground? Amen? Hallelujah. Your praise to Jesus is personal to you. It's personal. I can't tell you how to praise him. Are you following me? It's personal to you. Hallelujah. Think about this. How the Holy Spirit pursued after you when you were lost and in a backslidden condition. Praise God. He never let go of you, even in the midst of spitting in Jesus' face. Isn't that amazing? I think of the times when I was backslidden, just ignoring him, just doing my own thing, you know, sinning. But something always stirred on the inside of me. He wasn't letting go. I was trying to let go of him, but he was not letting go. And I thank God for that. And finally, I answered the call. Okay, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, okay, yep, there's a call on my life. I know, I've been feeling it. Even in the midst of this sin, I know. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Some of y'all need to answer that phone call. Amen. 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 Some of y'all got to respond to that text from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. See, those are the things in your life that you willingly think about. You meditate about those things. And because of doing that, what happens? It's a thankfulness starts to rise up in your heart. See, that's what it does. When you remember the things where God didn't let you go, when you remember the goodness of God, now, it creates a thankfulness on the inside of you. And that thankfulness turns into praise to Him. There's got to be. Listen, your praise must be rooted in thankfulness to God. Be ye thankful, the Word of God says. There's a reason for it, because you can't truly praise Him without being thankful. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. So, I will never allow a rock to praise Jesus louder than me. Amen? The next point that I want to go a bit deeper on is this, is that our praise must have a foundation. Our praise must have a foundation. Again, it's not based on the circumstances, because even if He did nothing for you, He still deserves our praise because of who He is and what He has done. Amen? It's based on who Jesus is and what He has already done for us. That's the foundation. Say foundation of our praise. You know, it's easy to come into a church service and sing praise songs when everything's going great, right? But what about when you're going through a storm in life? What about when things aren't so great? The disciples of Jesus in the Word of God, they did not base their praise on a fleeting moment of time. They did not base their praise on circumstances only. They based it on thankfulness to Jesus, His and what who He was, and the sacrifice He was going to do and what He did. Amen? You can say it this way, I like this. For the supernatural provision that He is providing. I like that. That's the only way. I'll give you an example. That's the only way Paul and Silas could sit in a prison cell and sing praises to Jesus. Amen. How else could you? I mean, it was a dungeon. This wasn't a little condo like they have now in some of the prisons. You understand that, right? This was a dirty cell with probably mice, snakes, just filthy. But instead of focusing on the circumstance, they turn their focus back on Jesus. And you know what? Because their heart was pure, because their motives to praise were pure, it released the power of God and the prison doors opened and they were set free. Interesting, right? Listen to me. Always keep, you got to get this in your spirit. Get this in your spirit right now. Always keep your praise pure. Always keep your praise pure. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean by that exactly. Let me spell it right out. Keep your motives for praising God pure at all times. Don't ever try to do it to manipulate Him. Are you following me? Oh, someone needs to hear this right now. Someone needs to hear this right now. Listen to this. Don't ever try to praise God, to praise Jesus, to try to manipulate Him, because it will be worthless and ineffective praise. Take a moment and check your motives before you start praising the Lord. Listen to this. In fact, we need to check our heart on a daily basis. Say, I got to check my heart on a daily basis. They don't have an app for that one. They got an app for this ticker, right? This heart. But here's where if you're going to check your heart, you need to be conscious. You need to be aware. You need to really pay attention. Is my motives pure for praising the Lord right now? Or am I just trying to manipulate him? Now remember this, in the book of James, the book of James says that some prayers are not answered because in our prayers we ask amiss. Are you following me? Listen to this. It goes on, I'm so glad that's in the book of James. I'm so glad that's in the Word of God. That's a pretty important instruction, isn't it? I want to know, Lord, why aren't my prayers being answered? Well, a lot of times, this could be it right here. It says, because you ask amiss, you're missing the target. Why? To consume that thing with your own lust. In other words, what the Word's trying to say is your motives are not pure for what you're asking for. Make sure your motives get pure. And you better, just as if you were going to court, you better have enough evidence that you're doing this thing for the kingdom of God and not your flesh. Are you following me? Are your motives impure or pure? So impure motives, it literally says that our prayers will be ignored by the Heavenly Father. So always keep your motives pure. Listen, with God and with people. With God and with people. The purity or lack of purity in our motives toward God and people. Are you ready for this? Is the difference between being holy or operating in witchcraft, control, and manipulation. Are you following me? I mean, this is some powerful stuff. This could be the very reason why some of your prayers are not being answered, because you're trying to manipulate God. And God's looking down, he's looking down, or the Holy Ghost is looking at you, he's like, okay, I know your motives aren't pure on this one. So change your motives. Change your perspective on this thing. Amen? And then come back. See, the Holy Spirit in every spiritual being in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of darkness, they are paying attention to one thing, our motives for why we're thinking, saying, and doing something. They're paying attention to our motives because that's what decides what is coming into our life, what kingdom you're giving access to in our life. You following me? Yeah. The next point is this. Jesus made it very clear that praising him was not optional. It was a necessity. Say necessity. Your love for Jesus will be manifested outwardly by praising him. We as humans, listen to this. Oh, the Holy Spirit showed me something very powerful. He said, as a human, are programmed to praise things and praise people that we love. Oh, you didn't hear me. Listen to me. Let me say it again. We as humans are programmed to praise things and people that we truly love, or that we set our focus and love on. Praise is a manifestation of what we set our heart and love upon. Did you know that? All right. Jesus said if his disciples didn't praise him, he said the rocks would cry out and praise him. Isn't that powerful? See, this is what you got to understand. Jesus is so powerful. Jesus is so glorious. That name of Jesus is so magnificent that at that very name, when it's spoken, are you ready? It invokes and it sparks a reaction in the spirit realm and even in the natural realm. If you don't think the name of Jesus doesn't spark something in the natural realm, you go into a bar and start talking to people about Jesus. Don't go into the bar. It was just an example. You go into somewhere where Jesus is not accepted, and you start speaking the name of Jesus and see how they react. The name of Jesus is so powerful that it sparks something in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. Just that name grabs the heart of people. Amen? Amen? The Word of God says that all of creation groans for redemption. Jesus is powerful. He is recognized by everyone and everything in the entire universe, including in heaven and in hell. You get that, right? Jesus is the name, the Word of God says, above every name. Everything bows and reacts to the all-powerful name of Jesus. His name is powerful. And that's why the enemy fights so hard, by using evil and godless people to remove and forbid the speaking of the name of Jesus and the written Word of God from being spoken in areas and places on this earth. You know, there's many countries where it's illegal to say the name of Jesus. It's illegal. Can you imagine this? It's illegal for the Word of God to be in some countries. Who do you think's behind that? The kingdom of darkness. Listen to this. If you need help, speak the name of Jesus. You need a mountain moved in your life, speak the name of Jesus in faith to that mountain and situation. Amen? Listen, the Holy Spirit gave me a powerful revelation of something here that I want to share with you. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Say faith, hope, and love. Listen to this. Those three things must be active in your life at the same time to walk in the power of God in your life. Say same time. If one of those things are lacking in your life toward God or toward a person, the power of God is hindered in your life. Plain and simple. The Word of God says this. It says a threefold cord is not easily broken. And the Holy Ghost said this. He said, that's one of those threefold cords right there. That need. Though he said, this is one of the threefold cords, spiritually speaking, faith, hope, and love. He said this, your praise to God will not be effective or pure without faith, hope, and love being active in your life at the same time that praise is released. Oh, yeah. Okay, all right. Let's back the truck up a little bit here. Let me say it again. Your praise to God will not be effective or pure without faith, hope, and love being active in your life at the same time that that praise is released to God. Now, why? Why faith? Faith, because God expects you and I to believe and trust Him, right? Hope, because, this is one that many Christians have to latch on to right now. Hope, because God requires you and I to have a positive attitude about the future with a confident expectation about the future. So all negativity has to go. You getting it? All right. And love, because God requires pure heart motives toward Him and towards people in our life. All right. So faith, hope, and love are not optional. It is a requirement for a child of God. It's a package deal. You could say it this way. It's all or nothing. Faith, hope, love. That threefold cord must all be active in our life. It takes all three of those things to be active to make it complete. Amen? So, listen to this. Our pure and holy praise to God is dependent upon faith, hope, and love being active in our life. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this. He threw a word at me and I about fell out of my seat. You ready for this? If one of those things are lacking, faith, hope, and love, it's contaminated praise to God. Can you believe that? What a word that is. Have you ever looked at praise as it could be pure, holy, or contaminated? If one of those things is missing in our life, faith, hope, or love, it's contaminated praise. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He said this, keep your mouth shut until you correct what is missing out of those three things, faith, hope, and love. He said, don't even praise me. Don't even utter a praise to Him if one of those things are lacking, because it's contaminated praise. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in this little white church this morning. Come on. Listen to this. Now, after the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, are you ready for this? After the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, immediately the Holy Spirit brought this to me, Matthew 5:24. He's confirmed this with Matthew 5. It goes right along with the account in Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, about bringing God an offering to the altar, yet holding unforgiveness in your heart toward another person. Leave the offering at the altar. What does it say? Jesus said, leave the offering at the altar. Go and make things right with that person. And make things right in your own heart. And then come back and reoffer it at the altar to him. God won't even accept an offering if faith, hope, or love is missing. He says, go make it right in your own heart. And with that person. That's crazy, right? In other words, deal with the heart issues. Purify your heart first, so then it will become a pure offering to the Lord. So obviously, think about this. Obviously, we can present dirty praise to God, and we can present dirty money to God. Oh, come on, somebody. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Now, so Jesus is revealing to us the importance of true heartfelt reconciliation over mere religious rituals that gains us no favor with God, right? I mean, that's kind of what that's saying. So in the Old and the New Testament, it's always been about the heart. Say heart. It's always been about the heart. Issues that must be dealt with in our heart. Everything we think, say, and do comes from the heart. So everything, that's why God says, I want your heart. Why? If God can capture your heart, guess what he captures? Your body, soul, and spirit. What you think, say, and do. That's why. Everything. Even the Old Testament, even the law. The law is a schoolmaster to point us to Jesus, our need for Jesus. Amen? It's always about the heart. So don't ever forget, faith, hope, and love toward God and people are foundational to having and releasing pure praise to God. Oh, I like that. So praising Jesus is a necessity. It's not optional. Amen? So don't ever allow a rock to outpraise you or your praise to Jesus. Amen. My final point right now. My final point. Last page. Final approach. Are you ready? My last point I want to bring up in this account of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is that among all the praise and adoration that Jesus received that day, verse 41 goes on to reveal something very powerful, that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Out of all that praise and adoration, Jesus indeed said that praise to him was necessary or else the rocks would cry out. But here's my point. Is that Jesus never lost sight of his true mission and why he came to this earth. He never lost focus on his mission when he was arriving in Jerusalem on that colt. And that mission was to save the world. Now, Jesus wept because of all the lost people. His creation that he created for love and fellowship with himself has gone astray. And that was very heavy on Jesus' heart. And guess what? It still is. It still is heavy on Jesus' heart. See, it's no different than if your child rebels against you. They spit in your face. They tell you they hate you. That's absolutely heartbreaking. Anybody ever have a child do that? Right? They rebelled and just you didn't know them anymore. They just, wow. And it was heartbreaking, right? But Jesus stayed focused on his mission. He knew exactly who he was and why he was there. We as disciples of Jesus, must have that same focus and heart to see every person reconciled back to God, their creator, through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, here's what I want to say. If Jesus had a hard time and wept over that, we as his ambassadors need to carry that same burden on us. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, that's not hooting and hollering stuff, but it's still true. Because you're his ambassador as a Christian. We are to carry out with the purpose that Jesus left on this earth. The example that he left. Amen? We are Jesus' ambassadors, his representatives on this earth. We must carry that same burden for the lost, for the sick, for the diseased, and those in bondage. All right? Time is running out. People are going to hell every day, are they not? We must get this gospel message out and minister to as many people as possible. Hallelujah. See, I know, yeah, I get it. Life can be super busy, right? But we must keep the main mission of advancing the kingdom of God in our thought life and in our focus at all times. Everything we think, say, and do must be wrapped up within that God-given purpose of reaching out to people. Amen? Someone once said, I love ministry, it's people I have a problem with. Ministry is people, right? That's kind of the joke, right? You get it, right? But we need that God-given purpose to reach out to people because that is what Jesus expects from us. It's our reasonable service for what he has done for us. So church, let's stay focused on our main mission. And don't forget, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not optional. It's mandatory for his disciples. If you consider yourself a disciple, you need to start praising him outside of these. I like when you praise him in here, but let's do it outside of the four walls, amen? And remember this, leave here and remember this, don't ever allow a stone to praise Jesus louder than you. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Our prayer team, come on up. Praise team. Want to do some more praise and worship? Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, maybe there's someone in this place you have never made Jesus Lord of your life. And I'm going to combine it with this. Maybe you were a disciple. You were really locked in at one point, but you let go of that. You wandered. You're one of those sheep that went astray, and you know it. So if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or if you wandered from him, and you want to come back to him today, and maybe this message pricked your heart, and you say, you know, I have not praised Jesus like I should. Come up and pray with one of the prayer team members, and just let them know and tell them, say, I intend to praise Jesus more than I ever had before because no stone is going to praise Jesus louder than me. Now, maybe in this place you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism with speaking in other tongues. If you'd like to do that, come forward. They will lead you through that prayer and experience. And if you need prayer for healing or anything else, a family member, come on up. They'll pray with you for that or anything else. And don't forget, before you leave, ladies, if you want to, Kathy Ark's clothes, Chris put them downstairs in the basement, and he's giving them away free. So if you want to go down, check them out, take whatever you want, be blessed, amen. All right, have a great week, everyone. Wednesday service, women's fellow or meeting, Bible study on Thursday, and Friday, no prayer, soaking prayer, because we have a service at night at 7. Good Friday service at 7. And then Sunday. Love you all. You know where to find me if you need me. Have a great week.